But we're joined now by Zafar Benkash, crescent-online.org. Are you there, sir?
Hello, Phil. Yes, I am.
Thank you very much for joining us. You're batting cleanup today because we have big problems we have to understand. There's,
no problem.
We thought there was going to be a meeting in Geneva, but it seems to be stalled.
That's right, yes.
And one, I saw an article by, I think it's Finian Cunningham.
Yes.
Where he says the problem is America and the Saudis can't get their act together because when they come on stage, it's going to be clear that they are allies of ISIS.
That is correct. In fact, both the Saudis and the Americans have been pushing to include two terrorist groups. They go by the name of Jaish al-Islam and Ahrar al-Sham. Both are part of ISIS and Al-Qaeda linked groups, and they have, of course, been involved in a lot of horrible things. Jaish al-Islam, for instance, was responsible for the Ghouta chemical attack back in August of 2013, which was essentially meant to provoke the U.S. into attacking Syria because Barack Obama had declared the use of chemical weapons by the Syrian government as a red line. But when these terrorists used it, of course, you know, he didn't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. But although he was about to go to war against Syria, but then the British intelligence notified the Americans that their analysis showed that the chemical composition of those chemicals that was used was not the kind that the Syrian army possesses, mm-hmm. and that these are weapons that were supplied to these terrorists by the Saudis and the Turks. And so that's the kind of group that the Americans and the Saudis now want to include in the Geneva talks, which, according to the UN representative for Syria, Stefan de Mistura, he said that these have been postponed until Friday, although it is difficult to know whether they actually would be held on Friday. And he even said that while we are still working on what groups to include in these talks, the talks are not going to be direct. They will be indirect talks in the sense that one set of people, which presumably is the Syrian government's representatives, sitting in one room, and the opposition groups, whatever groups are allowed to participate, would be sitting in another room, and mediators would be going back and forth between them. Mm-hmm. So that's the scenario that that stands at the present time. But, I mean, this is, as you said at in your intro, that the Americans and the Saudis are pushing for terrorist groups to be included in the negotiations, and that clearly exposes their ultimate links and who is behind these terrorists that have caused so much mayhem, killings, and all kinds of other terrible things in Syria over the past 5 years.
Yeah. And by the way, we really, you know, the last time we spoke to you, and you were pointing out there are serious cracks showing, and particularly with Saudi Arabia, they are having trouble using this expression, well known, that they can't get their act together. They stumbled in a big problem in Iraq recently where their emissary there, their ambassador, identified the people's militia, part of the government forces of Iraq, as being ethnically or sectarian lined. And it was so shocking that an Iraq complained. And then the leader, the Saudi foreign minister, he said, the man was, that's not our position.
Yes.
So I thought people had to resign when those things happened. You know?
Exactly. But, I mean, you know, Saudi Arabia is digging itself into a deeper and deeper hole. You know, I'm sure you've heard the expression that when you are in a hole,
if you want
to get out of it, the first thing to do is to stop digging. But I guess the Saudis don't know that.
Yeah. So. They don't do manual labor, you know.
That's correct. That's
but so this, clearly they are going to be they're a damaged party going to these talks. There's another group, though. I want to make sure we understand who they are, because the Turkish government is very upset that I believe that Russia and Syria said they were okay with a group called the YPG participating.
Yes.
Now, who is the YPG, and why does Turkey object?
Yes. Now, the YPG is a Kurdish group, which basically is an abbreviation for Yakiniyen Parastina Gael, which in Kurdish is translated into People's Defense Unit. So it's a Kurdish militia that is tied to the Kurdish Supreme Committee. It's an armed militia, and it has been operating in the northeast of Syria, where this particular group obviously has fought against these ISIS terrorists and liberated considerable territory from their control. But what Erdogan's problem is that he does not want this Kurdish group that is based in Syria to link up with the Kurds in Turkey, because it's Erdogan who is really has gone out on a very extreme position against the Kurds. In fact, he targeted them deliberately last year in Turkey and even tore the agreement that he had, peace agreement that he had signed with them back in 2012 in order to arouse Turkish nationalism. And of course, he was somewhat successful in the sense that he won a majority in the parliamentary election.
Yeah, he runs for office by opposing Kurds, right?
That is correct.
So he's the one who's going to crush the Kurds.
That's right. So he, first of all, he was the one who had signed a peace agreement with them in 2012, which was, of course, applauded by a lot of people. People saw that as a very sensible approach. And even the Kurds were very happy with it because they felt that at long last there was a government that was willing to sit down and talk rather than shoot. But then Erdogan decided that he was not going to have that, so he tore up the agreement and started shooting and created a lot of chaos in Turkey itself. But of course, by appealing to the jingoistic feelings of the Turks, he won the elections, but I don't think that he would get away with this because this is going to cause a lot of problems for Turkey in the medium and long term. And so Erdogan's real problem is that he does not want the YPG to be represented in the Geneva talks because, number one, it would not only grant this Kurdish group recognition, but it will also enhance their status among the Kurds. And so more and more Kurds would then turn to the YPG, and also it would enhance the stature of the Kurds in Turkey, particularly the PKK, which is the Kurdistan Workers' Party. And so Erdogan sees that as a threat to Turkish sovereignty as well as his own rule in Turkey. Mm-hmm. And it also undermines his position of trying to destabilize the Syrian government because of late the Syrian army has been making good progress against these terrorist groups. Mm-hmm. And so if YPG were represented in the Geneva talks, then that would be a further blow to Erdogan's policies in Syria.
Mm-hmm. Further to that, there's three or four prominent, well-known names who have led the Kurdish community or known abroad, like Mr. Barzani and I forget the other family's name, but
Talibani and so on.
Mr. Talibani. Do they comment on this situation?
Well, they haven't because they are quite comfortably established in Iraqi Kurdistan. So they have not really openly said anything about it. But, I mean, from the Kurdish point of view, the inclusion of YPG cannot be a bad thing because, obviously, the Kurds have historically struggled not only for their linguistic and political rights, but they've also been struggling to establish an independent Kurdish state. Mm-hmm. And that obviously is going to affect a whole lot of countries, including Iraq, Iran, Turkey, Syria, and parts of Armenia. mm-hmm. which would essentially redraw the borders of these countries, and it would be a major destabilizing fact mm-hmm. or factor if it were to materialize. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, although in Iraq, the Kurds have achieved de facto independence. In the other places, currently, of course, in Turkey, they're fighting against Turkish forces. In Syria, they've got a fairly broad degree of autonomy because the Syrian army is unable to reach there. And in any case, the Syrian army is engaged in so many other areas that it has left the Kurdish region to the YPG as well as the Kurdish Supreme Committee, and also aligned with the Democratic Union Party, which is another Kurdish party. Mm-hmm. So the Syrian government is happy for these groups to keep the terrorist groups away from certain areas of Syria so that the Syrian army can concentrate elsewhere. You'd recall Kobani, which was there was fighting taking place in 2014 between the terrorist groups, the ISIS groups, as well as the Kurds. And from there, they were the Kurds were ultimately able to drive away the terrorists. And so the group that was involved in fighting was the YPG that mm-hmm. fought against the terrorists, drove them out of there. And then, of course, last June, they also took another major town called Tal Abyad from the ISIS terrorists in June of 2015.
Yeah. Now, by the way, just apropos of Canada and its involvement, I remember interviewing Scott Taylor and yourself about this point, that Canada, when it goes to Iraq, tends to be involved mainly in the Kurdish areas, doesn't it?
Yes, of course. That's right, and that's problematic. Yes, and curious. because, you see, the thing is that right up to now, despite the fact that Prime Minister Trudeau had said that Canada was going to, withdraw from the bombing mission in Iraq, but it has not. It's still continuing, and it's still uncertain whether he's going to fulfill that promise. But at the same time, he has sent trainers to Iraq, to the Kurdish region. There are, I believe, at the present time, about 60 or 70 military trainers that are training these various groups, etc. And so, unfortunately, Canada is involved in the area, and it is not really very helpful to the overall situation over there.
Yeah. Maybe they should say their Iraq-Kurdish policy rather than Iraq. It would help us understand what they're up to.
Yes.
Zafar Benkash, crescent-online.org.
.net, sorry.
.net.
Yes.
.net. Wonderful site. And I thank you very much for joining us.
It's my great pleasure, Phil. Thank you.
Bye-bye.